I have turned 40 and I now need the light and reading glasses. This is very exciting. Good morning, all.
Good morning.
My name is Tamara Plummer, as it's in the bulletin. Full disclosure, I work for Episcopal Relief and Development. I'm not technically here to talk about that, but that's also a thing that you should know. It's been really hard to write this sermon. I am so grateful to be with you all today, and I'm so grateful that my friend and pastor, Reverend Julie, allowed me to be with you, but I kind of feel like it was a trick. She was trying to get out of preaching about these very thick but very short readings. So I prepared two sermons, mini sermon one. Every time I read from Revelations, I want to get on a soapbox about how this is not a predictive text, but a revolutionary one. Oppressed, colonized people telling a story where a colonizer is defeated. The evil that Michael overthrows is not merely about an individual sin or some kind of crime against good and evil in heaven. It is about the communal sin of power over rather than power with. Revelations is about justice against those who have decided that their power is greater than God. And it says that God has the last word through the use of God's army, God's angels. Those beings that seem to live in celestial planes but have access to us. So now that I've proven that I went to Union Theological Seminary, we'll go to sermon number two. The truth is that I'm overwhelmingly tired. And it's not an exhaustion that can be cured by more sleep. My day job at Episcopal Relief requires me to work with people who are living through disasters. And if you haven't noticed in the past couple years, there's been a few too many and happening all at the same time. Pandemic, hurricanes, floods, cicadas, fires, border immigration, refugee crisis, earthquakes, economic crisis, oh, and the racism. Let's not forget the racism. Plus, I'm an adult, a single adult who's supposed to wake up every morning, be clean, feed myself, clean my house, take care of the plants, and care about humanity. Because I'm apparently a Christian and that's what I'm supposed to do. And as I look around at even my most strong, most spiritually grounded, blessed friends, I feel the sadness and grief radiating from all of us. In normal times, it would be one or two of us going through some kind of traumatic moment, and we could rally around each other. You know the story of there's a person in a hole, and then they can't get out, their friend walks by, they say, help, the friend jumps in the hole, the person in the hole says, why'd you get in the hole with me? And the person says, I know that I'm down here with you, but we're not stuck because I have been here before and I know the way out. Friends, have you been here before? Do you know the way out? Where is a good ladder filled with angels ascending and descending to help us out of this mess? And so I stole from the presiding bishop's sermon on these same texts. and realized that we are living in liminal space. On a regular Sunday morning, I don't go to church, I listen to gospel songs, many of which testify to how they got over, how good it is that God was there, how they never would have made it without God. But these testimonies always talk about the after. What God has already done or what God will do. But rarely do we spend much time focusing on that place between, the liminal space. My friend Makita Pennycook describes it as the place between what was and what is not yet. And if we don't kind of spend some good time in the liminal space, we'll go back to some old practices that no longer serve us. And then, lastly, I was influenced by Nadia Boltz-Weber, the public priest theologian of the Lutheran tradition. And she made it clear that our baseline right now is grief. And so out of this grief is where I decided to re-examine the text. In the Hebrew scripture, we hear the story of Jacob going from Beersheba to Haran, but he stops in this place with no name, and dreams of a ladder between heaven and earth where angels are going up and down. It is clear that the ladder must mean something because, as we know from the TV show Luther, angels have wings to be able to do that. Nobody else watches Luther? Nobody? Okay. But it is between where he was and where he is not yet that Jacob, or the text says that Jacob, the text says, he was afraid and said, "How awesome is this place?" This is none other than the house of God, and this is the gate to heaven. Now, I don't know about you, you must be much more sanctified than I, but my natural response to fear and uncertainty is not, "How awesome!" It does not make me think that God is there or that this is a gate to heaven. And yet, this is exactly what we are being invited to explore. In the past couple of months, as we work our way back to the new normal, there has been great grief that when the doors of the church flung open, flocks did not pile back in. Y'all seem pretty filled, but there are many churches that still remain pretty empty. And while there are many that have returned, there are far more that have realized that online church isn't that bad. That there are so many more ways to experience the holy. Even more frightening, some have realized that their worshiping space does not feel like the house of God. Instead of racing back, they are racing away, racing to other ways of worship. While I feel like I'm personally living in a liminal space, the institution, the church that I work for, is also in a liminal space. But instead of laying down to dream and to listen to God's voice, many of us are trying to figure out clever ways to get back to a church that existed at a different time and a different place for a different set of people. I can even tell you stories about my childhood church, St. Paul's in the village of Flatbush, where we had a Sunday school of over 200 children and youth choir and this and that and this spectacular thing. And for my faith formation, those were the glory days. But that is what was, and God is inviting us into what is not yet. It is hard to battle forward when you have no idea what you are working to achieve. And yet, that is what I feel we are being called to do, not only as individuals, but as church. We are being called to trust God and know that even in this in-between frightening space, when church buildings will close, congregations will consolidate, and budgets will get tight, and disasters will continue to come, that God is in this place too. That not only is God in this place, but this very frightening, grief-filled, difficult place might be the house of God, might be the gate to heaven. This liminal space might be awesome. As Christians, if we believe that our house of worship are a house of God, then we must understand it also as a liminal space, an in-between space of what was and what is not yet. So if you need a good word today, ponder this with me. What if right now, this is awesome? It doesn't feel good, may not be comfortable, maybe anxiety-producing, overwhelming, and at moments feel like spiritual warfare. In spite of all of this, our scriptures are asking us to believe that even this, God has dominion. Even this is awesome. And it is from here that we will find the gates to heaven. As an educator, it feels like just being theoretical is problematic, so I'm going to give you some tools. It'll be through a little bit of story. So story one, I lived in Vermont. I was a student affairs professional at the University of Vermont, and I had a drastic liminal moment about my career and decided to move home. It was a very hard time. I was discerning priesthood, trying to find a job, and answering very big life questions. One day I laid on a friend's couch and just like nasty cried. Her dog Lucia, who has just this year passed away, gone on to glory, walked over to me, looked me in the eye, took her paw, and laid it on my lap. Now, maybe she just wanted her armpit scratched. But I have never felt so seen in all of my life. A dog with no words let me know that I was not alone in this liminal space. She didn't try to fix me or change me or tell me something about manifestation and journaling and gratitude. Lucia merely offered her loving presence and her affirmation that it was okay to grieve. Story two. In the early days of the pandemic, as we all were mourning the lives of close ones lost or ones we did not know, I would often walk around the silence of the city and listen to the gospel song, Let Go, Let God. It was like after every terrible meeting, I would just put on Let Go, Let God. You know, the as soon as I start worrying, worrying how the story ends, I let go and I let God have God's way. I changed the thing because I went to Union and I can't use pronouns for God. And so, like, what flashed before me was that I had a therapist who would always try to make me do mindfulness practice to let go of outcomes and expectations. Anyone who knows me knows that that is still a difficult task. But letting go, knowing that God is right there trying to help me along the way, has continually yielded better results than trying to tell God what I think should happen. Because when we let go for what we wish our life to be, God invades our imaginative possibilities and shows us greater things than this. Story three. I'm almost done, I promise. In my last semester of seminary, which was this spring, I took a class in Bible and trauma. We would often joke about the gospel song, "We fall down, but we get up." We changed the lyrics to, "We fall down and take a nap." Because we were studying the suffering servant trope and realized that sometimes suffering just ain't fun and you do need a nap. To rest more is not an invitation to more hours of actual sleep, but an invitation into those things that actually fill up our tank, rejuvenate our life. It's an invitation into possibly doing and caring about, most importantly, caring about absolutely nothing. There's a prayer in the prayer book. Sometimes it's useful, right? The Book of Common Prayer. If you want, page 461. And it's with a bit of modification, just a little bit. It goes, "This is another day. We know not what it will bring forth, but make us ready for whatever it may be. If we are to stand up, help us to stand bravely. If we are to sit still, help us to sit quietly. If we are to lie low, help us to do it patiently." And the best part, "And if we are to do nothing, let us do it gallantly," or for today's purpose, awesomely. So in review, survival tools allow space for real grieving with people who can hold it, or perhaps a dog. Number two, let go, let God be present to the now. And tool number three, do nothing gallantly. Take a nap. Church folks often ask me, as someone who works kind of in the denomination-wide church, the secret to getting under 50s in the pews on a Sunday morning. I'm gonna tell you the secret. Stop asking me to join a committee and help me to navigate the liminal spaces of life. The space between what was and what is not yet. On this day, your patronal festival, this is a house of God, the gate of heaven, an awesome place. It is not heaven. It is not the destination, but a place between. And if you haven't caught on to the trick yet, if you define liminal space as the place between what was and what is not yet, then you are never not in liminal space. You are never not in the house of God, and you are never not at the gates of heaven. We have no clue what the right answers are, but we might know the right next best step, frozen to theology. We might be able to ask some really good questions and trust that God is working it out through us together. We might be utterly afraid, and yet God. As grief continues to be our baseline, let us allow the water to come out of our eyes and hearts to be broken and rest to come. For what was and the longing for what is not yet. Because it just may be awesome. And it just may be preparing us for a time when we will experience much greater things than this. Amen. Amen.